From the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky, welcome to Red Barn Radio, celebrating the music and artists of this Kentucky region. Tonight, Red Barn Radio presents the music of Benjamin Boggs and the $100 Bills.
We'll be right back.
Red Barn Radio's official radio partner is WEKU, public radio for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.fm. Red Barn Radio is supported by Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. More information on what Lexington has to offer is at visitlex.com. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Chef Greg Scott and Broussard's Delta Kitchen, featuring authentic flavors of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta with live music every weekend on Main Street in historic Georgetown, Kentucky. Broussard's is on Facebook. Listen locally, working in concert with people to embrace opportunities. Listen locally and engage in shared experiences, including music, theater, poetry, dialogue, and conversation. More information on Facebook, Instagram, and listenlocally.net. Griffin Gate Resort and Spa, a luxury spa located in the Marriott in Lexington, Kentucky. And AccuPrint, providing printing, design, and fulfillment. Online at AccuPrint.us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Red Barn Radio. I'm Renee Cobb, the host formerly known as Renee Collins. Thank you. This is Red Barn Radio's 18th broadcast season, and it is Red Barn Radio's 665th live concert performance. Tonight, we present Benjamin Boggs and the $100 Bills. A multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter, Ben's roots are buried deep in the heart of the coal fields of the Appalachian Mountains. Benjamin Boggs and the $100 Bills.
Stuck here in the bluegrass. without you. Just trying to get you off my mind. 'Cause waking up still drunk without you is the only way that I can pass the time. Time.
Here's Red Barn Radio's Brad Becker.
Thanks, Renee. Nice to have you guys here. Nice to meet you, Ben. I've met everybody else here. Let's go back to your kidhood in Letcher County. That's where you grew up, right? In Partridge, you said, yeah. Which is outside of Whitesburg.
Yeah, it's almost in Harlan County.
And Whitesburg is county seat of Letcher.
It is, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And so talk about living in that part of the country for so many people listening who are from other states and regions.
It's very, very rural. There's not much there. Like I said, Partridge, I don't really know why it's even considered a city. There's nothing there. Until recently, they redone some roads. There's now a stop sign there, but that's the first stop sign. There was a little convenience store that had like a gas station type thing below my parents' house for a while, but it closed down pretty early in my childhood. So I spent most of my time either in Whitesburg or Cumberland or Harlan. Cumberland was actually the closest place to go to get groceries or gas or anything like that, which is actually in Harlan County.
How far is Cumberland?
From my parents' house, probably 7 or 8 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And you don't have to cross Pine Mountain.
Do you guys live off the beaten path?
Kinda, not really though. I think now Google Maps will take you there. Uh-huh. Before
to was, Partridge?
Yeah, oh yeah, to my parents' house actually. But before it was kind of just trying to describe what trailer or house you were passing as to where you should be looking to turn off. And you cross a bridge that goes over a river to get onto the street that my parents live on. So that was pretty much the landmark to describe how to get there at the time.
All I needed, but right now the only grace I need is you. You were no better than the names that you cursed. You get all the blame, I get the hurt. We got ourselves an empty well of emotion, and trying like hell to fill it up. Well, I'm shaking off these cold winter blues, looking for brighter days when the warm air comes through. And I can't wait for tomorrow, 'cause I don't know what it brings, but we'll only get by if we close our eyes and drown out the rain. It was a cold Sunday morning when I saw your light fade. Those pills you took to keep you sane just made you seem fake. The way we used to be all felt like a dream. I finally ocean. And you're trying like hell to fill it up. Well, I'm shaking off these cold winter blues, looking through. And I can't wait for tomorrow, 'cause I don't know what it brings, but we'll only get by if we close our eyes and drown out the rain. Drowned out the rain.
As a kid, did you grow up with a lot of flooding?
The side of the street that my parents lived on, there was not a river, but the opposite side had a river. So if it rained really bad, it would flood their yards. And then my grandma, I don't remember this, but she always talked about it when we were kids that the river across from our house would flood and come over into the road, but never anything super crazy. Hmm.
When you were growing up in that part of the country and in that sort of rural setting, was your base of friends kids from school?
Mostly kids from school and then family. My cousin, just sitting in the crowd right now, he started high school. He was a year ahead of me, so until I was in seventh grade, I don't think we spent probably a day apart. So I was always with him. And then we both had friends that were in school and we all went to the same school. So, huh. And it's such a small place. Most of us lived on the street together. And then if you didn't, you just got off the bus there.
What did your dad do?
My dad was a coal miner most of my life until recently. He's went back to college and he does heating and air now. And then he was a Baptist preacher. I guess I should say pastor until I was around 18. So I grew up in church. And then my mom was a stay-at-home mom until recently. She went back to college when my dad did, and now she works now too, so.
Huh. Did you grow up spending a lot of time in a particular church?
Yeah, Gillum's Chapel in Cumberland. My dad was the pastor there for a long time. And then just as we got older and things got busier, he kind of stepped down from that and just started kind of going anywhere that would have him to preach. He would just go there. Hmm. So he traveled a lot.
Hmm. You mentioned that he was also a miner. You know, I think we think of the job of church pastor being all-encompassing. You know, you're taking care of the sick in your congregation and tending the flock, right?
I didn't realize that was even a thing until I moved up here. I thought you just, people who were pastors of church, just that was just something that you did. I didn't know that people got paid for that. But yeah, he did all that. I mean, he would do that during the day and then sleep a couple hours, and he worked third shift. And so he would go to work at 9 or 10 at night and then get home at 7 every day.
Cars and look like ghosts, and I left you back in the country and headed for the city on my own. And all these lights and sounds remind me that I can't go where I need to go. I'll run life and all its demons just to fill up this damn hole. I'm closing in right now on Jackson. hit 15. If I see you down that highway, just know it ain't that far to me. If I don't see you coming my way, I know it's just how it's gotta be. Should see the leaves all changing. That's the last words that I read on a postcard that you sent me. You just can't stand, you're not in my head. So I drove past that old house you owned. It brought out visions in my head of you in that big old front window, looking down across the tracks. I should turn back here at Jackson right before I hit 15. If I see you down that highway, just know it ain't that far to me. If I don't see you coming my way, I know it's just how it's gotta be. If I don't see you coming my way, I know it's just how, it's just how, it's just how it's gotta be.
Did you grow up not seeing your dad a whole lot?
No, I saw him quite a bit. He was off on the weekends, so I spent a lot of time, you know, with him on the weekends and stuff. And then until I was old enough to drive, I pretty much anywhere he went, my mom and my sisters went too. We all went with him. It wasn't just like, I'm going to the hospital, I'll be back. It's like, get your clothes on. We're going to the hospital. You can sit in the waiting room for a little while and, you know, that type of thing. So
when he was going to the hospital to...
Yeah, he would go visit sick people in the church or just anybody that contacted him that wanted him to come pray with him or whatever.
From your dad, did you learn something about caring for people and how valuable that is?
Yeah, my parents, they do a lot back home. They do a lot with like youth ministries and things like that. That's kind of the reason my dad got out of being a pastor is he wanted to focus more on the youth. They've ran various youth ministries there. They do youth groups now. They're just really big on helping the community any way they can. So,
sound like special people.
Yeah, they are.
You were really lucky.
Yeah,
you were raised by special people, which makes you a special person too. How about music? How did that come into your life?
There was always music in church. There was a lady that went to the church that my dad pastors, and she played piano, and she played exceptionally well. Amazing.
Did you like that music at that time?
I did. I still listen to it. Every now and then I'll still get on a kick and turn on some hymnals that I can find, you know. It's kind of harder to find that stuff on Spotify nowadays, but I didn't really understand music at the time. But as I got older and started playing guitar and took some music classes, I would talk to her about playing piano. I was taking piano classes in high school, and I wasn't very good at it. That's why Kevin's sitting back there. I found out that she didn't even know how to, like, you know, the hymnal books always have the music in them. She didn't even know how to read music or even know what the notes were on the piano. She just could listen to what was going on and pick it up and play it.
Did her playing have that feel of being sort of improvisational, sort of tying into what was happening during the service?
It wasn't a church where they would have music while this preaching or anything was going on. They would have like a, I don't really even know what to call it, like a song hour where they would, everyone would sing, the congregation would get up and sing hymnals and she would play the piano. It was all one service, but it was like the way it worked is everyone got there and they would pray to open up the service and they would sing songs for however long they felt like they wanted to sing. And then whoever dad or whoever was there would preach and then they would kind of sing a couple more songs and then service would be over.
I hope you find peace somewhere in Sunday Valley, driving through the backwoods in your truck. I hope you find peace. I remember how you smile, and I know you'll always be there when I look up. You'll be reading Louie L'Amour, 'cause I know how you always love those books. And you could play a game of cards and watch basketball on Sunday on TV. I hope you find peace. I know you don't really know me anymore, just a stranger in your door, but you knew my name. And I know it's not your fault, and you really don't deserve this.
Coming up, more Red Barn Radio with Benjamin Boggs and the $100 Bills. Recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with more from Benjamin Boggs and the $100 Bills after this break. This is Red Barn Radio.